Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger, and I think we've got two very excited people here today, excited to meet one another and to present to you. So light beings, my guest you're going to meet a little bit later on is Tamara Richardson, or known as Tamara Calder Richardson, also known as the evidential psychic medium. She is the South's version of the Long Island medium. Tamara is a six-time near-death experiencer, also a Christ and angelic channeler, and very connected to the ultra-dimensionals or extraterrestrials. This show has won three Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Radio Podcast Show, Welp Magazine named Dare to Dream, one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and it is high ranking under self-improvement on Apple Podcasts. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane here and Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world. You can become a facilitator or take one of their classes anywhere. Go to Dr. Dane here, HEER.com. If you would like to know what your galactic ancestry is, unlock your cosmic potential, get a free starseed video and report, you can explore the 19 different, there are many more, but this just explores 19 of the very many types of starseeds. It's captivating, and you can uncover your galactic origins in a detailed report. Don't miss the chance to connect with your star lineage. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. I also just want to preempt this by saying my guest today, Tamara, and I are going to be speaking, both of us, alongside 20 other amazing spiritual and galactic presenters aboard the Celebrity Cruise Line, December 14th to the 21st, heading to the Yucatan. So amazing days at sea, also an excursion, some three unbelievable land excursions. You can find out more, go to debbiedashinger.com/cruise. debbiedashinger.com/cruise. And just know that all of these will be in the show notes. So the guest today, Tamara Richardson, a multifaceted spiritual practitioner and experiencer, six times near-death survivor, contactee, seer from birth. She has developed remarkable abilities as an evidential psychic medium and channeler. Tamara connects with Christ, ascended masters, ultra-dimensionals, and various extraterrestrial collectives, including the Galactic Federation and Sirian Arcturian Council of Light. With a cosmic heritage as a seraphim incarnate and past lives on Sirius A and B, Tamara has contributed to seeding Lemuria and served as a high priestess in Atlantis. Her experiences and insights have been featured in recent books by P.M.H. Atwater and A.J. Parr. Her channeling abilities have aided scientific research, contributing to Mark Fiorentino's work on portal technology and unified field therapy. She has extensive experience with past life regression and interdimensional existence. She has shared her gifts at venues like Edgar Casey Center. And she also, from time to time, speaks in unknown to her various languages. Tamara runs the Academy of Divine Wisdom.com Ascension School. Plus, you can find her at Southern Bell Medium website, where you can purchase an evidential life path reading sessions. She's also the host of the popular YouTube Seeking Heaven channel. And her website, which I'll give out now, it'll be in the show notes and again later, is academyofdivinewisdom.com. And with that, I welcome the amazing Tamara Richardson to Dare to Dream. It's so great to have you here, lovely.
Oh, that was beautiful. Thank you, Debbie. That is at the top of one of the very best introductions ever.
Oh my God.
I think it's yours. Neil had a pretty one. Neil Garm, Portal to Ascension, and then the Edgar Cayce Center. That was beautiful. That took a lot of effort. That was really beautiful how you put that together. And I'm thrilled to be here. We were so excited beforehand just talking. So now we're finally here. And I want to make sure before we begin that people know that you're going to be on my channel very soon. So they'll still have to stay posted to that. We'll let them know. We're going to talk about your spiritual journey, which I'm thrilled.
Yeah, we need this friendship to continue. So next week I'll be on your show.
Yes.
The love boat will keep sailing here between us as we continue to get one another before we actually are on the cruise ship together. You know, I just learned, Tamara, what an evidential medium is. I had somebody, I have book writing classes. I'm a coach, and a gal joined my class. And when she said she was that, I thought of you coming on the show. And I said, could you explain what that means? And yes. So she said, yes, evidential means I have proof. So
yeah,
you
proof.
Know that I'm speaking to the right person. So would you also say that's what evidential mediumship means?
Yes. Yes. And I also want to mention a point about the difference not having that. So evidential mediumship means that when I'm reading the sitter, the other person, mediumship is a three-way communication, myself, the sitter, and the spirit person or persons, they usually come in a several people. So I have to say first one step forward, or who's going to communicate for the group. And then they'll kind of like next, with evidence is the evidence is not for me. Although I do get excited and it helps me to continue to do the work. I'm like, yes, but it's for the person. So they would get evidence. Now the evidence could come through where the spirit person was saying that, I'll give you actual evidence that I've gotten in readings. It was a lady I was reading that was Egyptian. Her mother came through. I described her, which it could be, to play devil's advocate, it could be I'm reading her mind, right? You know, I'm reading what she's thinking. But what makes it evidential is that it could be something in the past that I wouldn't know, right? Or a detail or something she had forgotten about that she doesn't know. Or many times they'll leave it where they have to check on it later. So in this case, with this Egyptian lady, her mother came through and called her Bibette. I said, what does that mean? It's my beloved. And I was like, okay. And she goes, that's what she called me. I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And then I said, your grandmother's here. She's talking about cashews and her backyard and her kitchen. She said her kitchen backed up to a cashew farm. Now, I don't have that here, so I wouldn't know that. That's not my reference. And then I said, she's talking about baking bread in this particular oven. She said it was one of those ovens that are, what do you call it? You put clay dishes in it. And mm-hmm. She goes, yes, I understand. That was her specialty she made. And then it came through with her about couponing. I said, your grandmother's telling me she's here with your mom about couponing. And she's like, yeah, coupon. Like it was a secret. Like, yeah. Like I said, you like are into it. Like you got the folder with the little sleeves and the whole bit. Like, you know what I mean? Like the professional couponer.
Wow.
And you sit and watch TV and you've got it on this tray that's this brass metal. So what they'll do is take me remote view, not like the kind from the military remote view where they give you a target, right, like Alan's, you know, Steinfeld, not that kind, but they'll literally take me there as I can be by location and go there and kind of like, okay, I'm seeing it. Okay. She's describing it's etched in. It looks like that. And you got something as you come in, she's showing me that, with some, it looks like a tree that's in brass on the wall. As you come in, she goes, yes, to let them know that not only is it them, but they watch what you're doing and they care very much about us. That love connection is still there. And then, you know, I get a lot, you know, what about if they've crossed over? How does that work? Well, multidimensional. We're sitting right here doing this thing.
Yeah.
And then we're also on other planets and we're also in the angelic realms. So we've got to think, get out of thinking completely linear. I mean, we do need it for this world, but we need to be open to the possibility that spirit can communicate in multidimensional way.
Yeah. There's a great, amazing TV show recently put out, and I'm not going to remember the channel, but people can Google it. It was based on a book called Dark Matters. And it literally showed somebody who created a device, he was a scientist, whereby he could step into a box and there was a hallway with a gabillion doors, and each one was a different life, a concurrent lifetime or dimension for him. And they were good, bad, everything in between. And this, for me, was so powerful because this concept you're talking about brought it visually for me to an idea. Because they were not aware of each other. They were actually, as they stepped out of a door, living their own life, whatever choices they made. So I get it. I can't help but wonder about you, Tamara, because I know supposedly you were a psychic medium and channeler, it says in your bio, since birth. And I'm trying to imagine, like, baby Tamara, you know, speaking stuff that, like, blowing people's minds, what you could see and know as this little creature. What in the world was that like?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, in all fairness, I have to admit what I believe calls that filters to go away. And as you know, our spirituality is like an onion. As layers come off, we can see things more clearly. But because I had six near-death experiences, one being at a prenatal, and my mom didn't almost carry me, I saw that whole situation. And then the second one, I was 3 and a half and playing hide and seek, and a nail went through my skull. I was playing, it was under a dress. I was going, wee, and it was bouncing, and it pierced my skull. So immediately I was connected and saw in different dimensions. And then when I was four, I had three, four, and five in a row. Four, it was an accident. I went through a windshield, again, the head again, you know, the crown chakra. And it was an accident, went through that, saw different dimensions, saw different time periods all happening at the same time, which it couldn't have been, where the park where we hit the tree was wrapped around it, and I was thrown through the windshield. My face was shattered. I'd have two surgeries on my nose to pull out cartilage, which, you know, it's amazing because, look, I don't look like my face was shattered. I mean, it's amazing. And how resilient the human spirit is. And so I saw different dimensions and different timelines, but it was wintertime and things were dead, and it was had been snowing and freezing. So there's people wouldn't have been walking around outside like Native American Indians cooking food, or the 1800s Gibson girls walking around with a baby carriage or a hot air balloon. These are things I saw. And then at five, I had pneumonia. I had sexual abuse and from my stepdad, which I feel sorry for him now. He's passed on. He was like a ghost for 4 years. He was so stubborn to cross over. Ugh, I tried so many people, shamans, everything to get him to cross over. Seriously, I had a friend who's a shaman. We did so many things. Anyhow, that led to me talking to God, saying, don't want to do this. Don't know what this is. Don't want to do it. I was five, a little over five. Don't want to do this. And I said, can you kill him? I didn't realize it was bad. And then I was like, okay, take me. So that's in fact what happened. And during that time, I had pneumonia. My fever got to 103.9, is the last I can recall, but it got higher. And I was not taken to the hospital for 2.5 days. And then finally, when I was taken, I died on the way in the car. And so I was clocked in at 15 minutes dead on arrival. And then I was on and off dead for 2 hours, and they covered a sheet. They covered me up with a sheet. And so at that point, I saw two Catholics. See, where I live in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's mainly, I mean, there's some Catholics, but primarily it's Protestants. Okay. So I knew who the Catholic people were, but we didn't really have any kind of, I knew it because the rosary, but that's about it. And they were spirit people. Okay, that had rosaries, and it was a male and female. I said, blessed are the innocent. They were praying over me. And then I went to the place we may call like heaven. I spent 3 days. Jesus has taught me stuff. He's still my teacher. He talks to me all the time. He brings me other religions. He talks to me about other planets. He's told me all about the reptilians before I even read David Icke's stuff. He told me all about it. He said he knows all about it. And is he, you know, you got to think, he's something. He came here to show us something. You know, whether it's not a matter of a religious belief, he was ascended, you know? And so that from that point, when I came back at three, it started happening, but I would always talk to spirit people. So that took the veil off my eyes. And then I had a couple more after that of drowning. And then in a pool at a vacation with a family. yeah, I got hung up under guys playing volleyball, and the water started separating, and I heard a choir of angels. And then when I was 38, I had a reaction to a menstrual pill, and I saw, I just like alarms went off. I woke up. I couldn't speak. I don't know why I couldn't have motor skills. Don't even know why I was moving, because I couldn't wake my husband up. So I got up, turning the TV, hoping it could bring my consciousness around to follow a train of thought. Very shortly after that, I realized I did not know my name. I did not know I was male or female, and I'm in the galaxy, which is the first place I like to go, particularly like the Milky Way. I like all that area out there. Going home, I really like it out there. It's so beautiful, beautiful in the nebulas. And so before that happened, I saw the furniture in front of me start turning into lines. Like it started deconstructing. And so I realized at that point, we really are living in a holographic universe held together by our consciousness. And so but what holds our, controls the gauge on our consciousness is the fact that we have belief systems, and they're not all bad, but we have belief systems that are instilled in us, no matter if we grew up Jewish, Christian, Hindu, no religion, but we grew up with something, right? So that was our norm, our stable datum. And until we go through the dark night of the soul to erase some of that dogma and then relearn what we feel to be as true, and many of us through this ascension process, of course, are still going through that. So me being a medium, having so many near-death experiences, and I've had cryptid experiences, I've crossed over what you consider ghost people. They're just sad, you know, or pissed off. And I'm like, do spiritual counseling, which you probably do this, you know, with shamanic, some shamans do similar things. Done that. I've seen different cryptids, fairy world, all that. The rake, I've experienced that. I've experienced a lot of things. I've shape-shifting. I can also take someone's ectoplasm if I hug them, or if I'm just close to them, and I can start turning into them. It's just something, I don't try that. I was not like, hey, why don't I try this? What kind of, that'd be a kick, you know? It's just, I started noticing in photographs. And then with the mediumship, people would say, well, you're starting to form his face on you. And it's an ability, maybe because I have more ectoplasm. I don't really know. But there are certain people that can't handle the more advanced stuff. I mean, I've seen demonic things. I've had to handle that. And so it's not for the weak need, but I don't think that's most of the world. And especially if you're dealing with the higher realms, you're not going to even come into contact with that.
Yeah. How has that changed you? I mean, from such a tiny age into your adulthood to have, I mean, I can understand the crossing over, how that would open you up to an understanding in other worlds, but in your 3D being, your human being, to that's a lot of trauma, physically.
The body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The body. Yeah. And you know, because of what you do, you're a light worker. The body holds trauma. So, okay. Two responses there. Number one, I never knew I was different. Because if that's all you ever were, then how would you know that? So as a child, I would know, I would just know things ahead of time. Well, the coolest example of that, and then I'll answer part two. The coolest example is when my mom, she had me very early, and then she had to have this guy. He was like real groovy. He was in radio. He was real flashy. She was like, oh, I got to have this guy. And so she left home, and she took me. That was one of my NDs where my nose was, my face was all banged up. She didn't go back home. So my grandparents were worried sick. That was my safe point. They looked, make sure I was safe. And they had things and money, and they had like a 10,000 square foot house. Now we're in this trailer. And so, which is where my ET experiences kind of began too, I guess, because I was sending out a beacon like, help.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And so, but I didn't know how to explain, you know, what the sexual abuse was. And so for years, growing up in a dysfunctional family, I kept it secret. And so it's been really hard. I was just having this conversation with another starseed near-death experiencer, which there's quite a few of those. But you get, of course, with multiple near-death experiences, you get more gains. You get more heightened awareness. It just makes sense, but it's true. It's actually evidential. There's studies on that, but without going into that, as an adult, I found it hard to speak out, even though my natural personality is Aries, whatever, you know, I said cusp on the Pisces, but Aries, to speak out because I had hidden things for so long. And so sometimes I'll find myself doing that. It's not that I don't trust. I do. I forget I'm doing it because I did it so automatically. I'm like, you should share more of that. And so sometimes I have to check with people. Is this too much to say? Because I don't know. And they'll go, no, I want to hear it. You want to hear it? Because I was told, you're just pretty. Just, you know, marry up. You know, and but I was smart too. But I was always, that was held back. And so there was a lot of narcissistic abusive behavior going on, especially toward women. So I had to, at an early age, 18, I was seeing an astrologist. I think I saw an astrologist 7 years. She was like my mom. And I started getting counseling, but I didn't want to go for traditional counseling because I didn't trust them because they'd want to put me on some screwed up medication. So I went to an astrologist and who's also a psychic, who's an older lady. And it was really helpful. She helped me a lot through life choices. And through then, you know, I continue. I'm actually getting, I've had 400 hours of past life and in between life regression. I'm getting another one coming up. I'm excited and scared to death, which is, that's a good place to be.
Do you, when you do these, do you deal with just here or do you
know?
That's awesome. I might want this person's info because I recently redid a second galactic Akashic record with my dear friend who, she's also your friend, Debbie.
Yeah.
Solaris.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Yeah.
And this time, you know, people keep telling me you're going to start channeling. I have no context for this, by the way. All I have is my knowingness, which is a powerful gift I have. Tons of discernment, and I know what I know, end of story. And so when she was saying this, and others have said this, I thought, you know, I'm not going to channel. I'm not going to channel like Tamara. I'm not going to channel like Daryl Anke. I know something unique is going to come through me, but I have no context.
Never say never.
Exactly. My life. That's my life.
Right. I said I'd never wear red lipstick. That's my favorite color now. Are you kidding? I added on hot pink to that. And, you know, some people look at me and go, well, you're a spiritual, you know, I don't know, whatever, guru. Well,
I was wondering about this person you're seeing because Deb said to me, you need to see someone and do some past life, but galactic. And she has some strong ideas where I have been doing this powerful channeling and healing work.
Well, I've been doing this with various people over 40 years, but currently I want you to know how it goes. Yeah. I've done different ones over the years. Well, it was an accident.
Well, we use that term lightly now.
Yeah. I'm like, it was another accident, but not accident like physical, but someone was in town and they were a field auditor. And at the time, I'm not involved or affiliated in any way, but they were a Scientology auditor and dynamic. So individual and really nice. And I immediately, second time, went back into past lives. And then I went from there onto other planets. I was doing stuff other people weren't. They couldn't understand it. I actually told OT3 at a thing in LA to go out to LA. I was a part of a human rights thing. And then I would go out there. And it was a big shindig. They had a big human rights event, you know, I got to wear a long dress and I was at a table and, you know, they had celebrities there, musicians, different things. And they said, we were talking and I was like, yeah, I remember being on the Galactic. I've been for eons an ambassador in the Galactic Federation. You know what happened to us last time? Then the planet got blown up. And they were like, I never even read any of that stuff. I don't know anything beyond that, but I know that they were pissed because I was doing up higher level stuff. But this is what I believe, no matter what it is in life, no spiritual group or anything should ever try to hold you hostage to your spirituality. That is free. That comes straight from the divine. That is your divine higher self and the creator itself. No one, no thing. So F them or anyone that tries to do that, because the greatest journey you will go on, and the scariest and the most exciting, is your own journey. And anyone that doesn't help you do that or tries to stop you, you need to immediately send them away with love and get rid of them. And so with that said, I really learned a lot during that time. Because I did all sorts of really cool stuff. And then I started seeing other people after that. But that was 16 years of this field auditing. And he goes, well, you're doing it, so let's do it. But I've seen inventions on other planets. I've seen being Arcturian, creating stargates. My last planet is Sirius. I was a blue white, which I can glow blue white, which I did that in my second activation with the South African Palladian. I thought it was just like some little meditation like thing. I didn't know that we were going to do an activation. I was like, that was very relaxing. When are we going to do that again? She goes, well, I'm being told you got to wait 8 weeks. I'm like, okay. 8 weeks, had it again, started seeing UFOs. Then another 2 months later, so, I mean, like fleets. Okay. Fleets. Like there's no doubt. Not like, is that a star? Like big. Okay. And then 2 months later, I started doing it again. I started the second one on, I would glow the room blue. So what does that mean? I think our physics in this world, I think we're lied to about everything. And I know that my job as a messenger is to speak of God's love and the love within you. And that's why I'm so identified with this Christ conscious message, right? Because that's what he does. He speaks about love. And so a lot of us out there identify with that because of that message of love. But I have to tell you, there are days that I am Aries. I get pissed. I want to bring out my freaking dragon and go, because the poisoning and the chemtrails, the poisoning of the food, the poisoning and this and that. And then the fact that our pineal gland, we should have light popping out of our orifices. We should be, seriously, and I mean that, and that's for real, for real. And we should be glowing. We are powerful and we are part of something really big, not just the love we have for one another, but we have been lied about on honestly every level, from just name one, religion, medicine, food, our health.
Food, politics, why we go in and do other things to other countries, what's really happening in other countries.
What's really happening? What about aging? They lied. We should live much longer. Mm. Why can't we live hundreds of years and look great? Okay. Mm. And the people that do that, the other people that look crappy, they don't like them. They're pissed off. You know what? Look, you made bad choices in your lifestyle. So that's okay. You're still loved. But you know what? When you make healthier choices, and I mean also emotionally healthier too.
Yeah. I'm 88, so I feel really good.
Well, I'm 110. I think we look like hot cougars, don't we?
You look fine. Really fine. Definitely. As I own that. I own what you're saying. I want to know a little bit about quantum traveling and time jumping. What the heck? I mean, I understand these words, but to be able to do this, can you explain? Like, do you do it at will? Do you know where you're going? Do you choose? Does it choose you?
Okay. So, you know, I can only tell you my Tamara's approach to this. So let me tell you how this happened for me.
Yeah.
Again, I kind of fell into it. I need to say that, really, I put a lot of work into stuff, but I'm also hard-headed. So sometimes I just have to present things and I have to show up and do it. And then as I'm complaining, I do it. And then I go, that was cool. So the quantum travel, I know that I don't like, for me, I'm speaking only for me, the astral, because the astral is all gooey. It's like when I read Dr. Evan Alexander's book, you know, being a near-death experiencer, I've been written about, my book's halfway done, Love from Heaven, but there's some personal reasons I don't want to release that yet. So I'm going to release other books. Anyway, so going back, I've read a lot of these things. And when he talked about the murky area, and I was like, yeah, I don't like hanging out there. Okay. So this is the areas that we have the archons, the lower level entities. And then you go up through, work your way up. I am basically impatient. So I don't like that. I say I'm impatient. I'm really patient with people I care about and stuff. And it could be strangers I care about. But myself, I have to work on that. That would be my Achilles heel, you know, is impatience. I want things now. When my computer doesn't work right, I want it fixed now. I want to keep going. And so going through all these different levels, I didn't like that. I didn't like coming across these different entities. And that's what I saw when I was younger, when I was like a child. And so as an adult, I decided I'm leaving this. So I do this thing at night where I think it's completed now, but where I help create this light grid over the earth. Over the earth, there's a dark mass. Above that, there's a light grid. And I help create that. Actually, Kryon came through to me and said, "You're finished. You're done." I was like, "Okay. Do I get a prize? I mean, what did I do?" And that's because these, you could say the archons, you know, the reptilians, they're trying to have an effect on planet Earth. Hence, we got troubles, right? And some people they've gotten to. That's why we're going through this ascension shakeup, which needs to happen, by the way. It's a positive thing in the long run. So I just went way up to the light grid and went past it on. So what I do myself when I lay down at night, this is what I prefer doing instead of in a meditation, because I can go deeper. And again, I got things I have to do, is that when it, at night is all, I don't do it every night, but sometimes I just want to, because I do. I will lay down. I will visualize myself in this, I can visualize myself in a Merkaba. That's fine. But usually what I do is I visualize my soul. I soul travel. And so I will above my head, way above my head, which there's been several photos and at the Edgar Cayce Center videos of my halo, which I always thought it was a glitch. But what happens, I go up to this high level and then I encase my soul in this bright divine light, pure light. And so I have this Christ consciousness and brings all the divine light in and expands out around my soul. So I visualize my soul like a little ball, which is orbs, you see. When people see orbs, they're like their little portion of their soul. So I encase it. And then I create a portal, which is like a big funnel. And I ask Michael to get in there with me. And sometimes Metatron, I'll do Michael on the right, Metatron on the left. And I'll say, "Take me where my soul needs to go." Or sometimes I'll say, take me to the Sirian nation and where I need to go on that planet. Don't really want to go to Sirius C, just a preference. Sirius A is best. And then Sirius B, good times. Sirius B with the Mer people, or I call them Aquarians. So that's how I go. And then I'll come back with knowledge and information, and I'm completely loved and protected, and I'm just wrapped up in a little ball. So you avoid all that. And this is what we need to do, not only in our consciousness practices, but when we exit this planet, we need to do that, because this is something that whether you, something you don't want to really embrace right now, you're going to embrace it at some point. So you might as well have that feeling of what that feels like. And it should feel really peaceful, because when you're dealing with divine, perfect love, it is whole, it is complete, it is oneness, it is love. And so that's how you should feel. And you're bypassing all this BS with the archons and the creepy stuff and the world creepy stuff. You're just bypassing all that. So, and it's done by intention and thought.
Okay, amazing. What incredible work you do. What an incredible life, and what an incredible being you are right now. It's like a massive adventure. It's so cool. I know people who are listening, because I find a lot of what you're sharing to be very fascinating, Tamara. I'm sure would love if you would be willing to give us an experience, maybe first with the evidential mediumship, so we can see what that is like, what you do, etc.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Do you? Okay. All right. So here's the thing. Let me explain psychic too. Somehow that's gotten to be, I put holy water. I've got all these hyssop and really high level frankincense and myrrh in my little spray thing. The bottle looks terrible because I've used it for so long, but And the reason I do that is that when we have high level essential oils, and I have it like blessed by nuns and all that. No, I'm not Catholic, but I really like what they're doing there. And so put all that together, it raises the environment, right? And it and far as psychic, let's go there. A lot of people consider that a dirty word. That it just means what it means, knowing things that you shouldn't know. That's all it means. It doesn't mean there should be no emotion behind that. Now, my thoughts on that, if someone comes to me and they want psychic stuff, I'm happy to give that. But there's certain things that we shouldn't know. I shouldn't know. You shouldn't know. People say, oh, I'm going to meet the guy, you know, my life. Well, what am I supposed to say? Well, you got to get rid of the crappy attitude. And yeah, he'll appear after that. No, I'm not. Sometimes I will. It's all free will, right? It's all free will. So I think if I can see the best scenario for a person, there's hundreds of scenarios. Right. So that will come through sometimes in evidential mediumship where the mother, the grandmother, the father, the friend, the whoever it is, it could be someone you went to school with, whoever it is, could be someone, a random person you didn't know that well. And then there'll be the gate open it to others. They will tell you things because they know what you're thinking. They can't help not to. It's like being in the bathroom, you come out of the stall, you hear people talking, you're not trying to intrude, you just overhear it. And that's how they are. Spirit people that are spirits talking in the bathroom. But with that said, I get more spirit action in the bathroom than you can imagine. Yes, I don't. You know what it is? Because women love their bathrooms. They love, it's their time of meditation. If you have a bathtub, it's true. You put on your makeup, you know, you're going, because you know, no one's going to open that door, right? And so that's our little time to just, so they know, oh, we got her. And so before I do like a live reading or whatever, I'll usually have some spirit meet me in the bathroom and start talking. I'm like, oh, for gosh sakes, can I go to the bathroom? Yes, I would be happy. Read some people. So if you're interested, I can do psychic, I can do medium, I can do both. You may just go for it and tell you what I'm getting.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay. So you have a very strong grandmother here who's like, not the same, but reminds me of my grandmother because it feels like a grandmother. It could be your mom, but I really feel it's your grandmother. And she's really opinionated. And she, in life, she's just fussy about liking things her own way. Now, I don't know if it's you're on your dad or your mom's side, so you can let me know and you can just say, yes, I understand, or no, I need more information.
I think it's my mom's side and I need more information.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Okay. I think it's your mom's side too. So how I get it is I start looking to the right. That means mom and left dad. Now it gets a little bit more complicated when it's on, you're married and it's their family. But anyway, sometimes I can look at it like a clock, but anyhow, they just started doing that as a child to me. And I just start looking off that way, the direction I went. I think my head it's like a gauge. It means something. So your grandmother, she talks a lot. She talks really fast. Now she's funny. She talked a lot. And she was very personable, but she did not take everybody in and really tell them everything. But she was a very dynamic person, but she was a little person. She was little in terms of, I want to say she's feminine like you, and you get a lot of your stuff from her, and she wants you to know that she knows that, and she's so proud of you. She also wants to talk, and I really feel like it comes up, okay? It comes up with people, and again, we want to honor our ancestors, right? Of course, you're a shaman. You know that. We want to honor and show love, but I'm really feeling this sense of, so is there a Jewish tradition in your family, and what is the Jewish connection?
Yeah, I was raised Jewish. Okay. Both sides of my family, yes.
Yeah, well, we're raised something, right? Okay, so this would be, so she was Jewish as well. Okay, on both sides. Okay. So if I had to think of a term, it's because she's really adorable. But do you understand her talking a lot? If she liked you, she would just talk, and she was animated. She loved to be, I see her wearing earrings, but the kind you clip on.
Yes.
And she's talking up a storm. She loved being a real girly. She's crazy about you, but she wants to talk about, here we go, already starting to get personal. Let's start with this. She's very happy with everything you're doing. She loves you. She says, go, 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 just go. She's like, whatever you think, if it's pulling in your heart and pulling in your heart, you know, that's a yes. You know that. And she said the three rules. So I guess if you get it three times, like I'm feeling it again. I need to look into this. She said, that's good. She said, you're learning to trust your instincts. And she's proud of you with that. She's been following you for some time. She's kind of one of your guides. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's told you this, but she's totally 100%. That's why I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, okay, I just got to say this. All right. So cool. This doesn't happen a lot, but my grandmother's hanging out with her grandma, because my grandmother used to deck out, and she was like super cool, and she's just real animated. So they're hanging out. So they're talking about us. So cute. But the reason she wants to mention the Jewish connection is there's some inner turmoil she's mentioning, because, you know, they feel our heart. They feel when we don't feel good. They feel it in our body. They also, when we ponder things like, what about this or what about that, that there's some internal upset with you wanting to, I guess, being an ascension leader, you know, an influencer, mm-hmm. right? But you're human, that you have this conflict of this war thing in Israel and all that, but there's a Jewish connection. She said the place is not the people. She wants to tell you that the place is not the people. So what she's saying is whatever happens in a place is not the, what does she want to use for me? It's not the story of the people. She said, she wants you to connect with the people, like the Jewish people, of the pride and the endurance and the fellowship of family. Mm-hmm. And she also, my gosh. So when you were living, in this way with family getting together and breaking bread, I will say she was traditional in this way, mm-hmm. but it was very important. And she wants you to, oh my gosh, she's kind of telling you, she's real nice about it, but she doesn't want you to forget that. She doesn't want you to forget that. That's a part of you, right? That's a part of you that's golden. It's like a beautiful ruby, you know? And she just wants you to cherish that part. And whatever you hear, this or that, it's like, I live in the United States. Well, I mean, so do you. But I'm not my president. I'm not the government. I'm just a person, right? But I represent more the people, because I'm a person. I have regular beliefs, right? You know what I mean? Regular needs, like basic needs. So she wants you to identify with, not with a crisis that occurs. And I think that she's saying this for a reason. It feels to me like she's saying this to you, things may escalate, and she wants you to pray and intercede for people and the love of people, and not to get caught up in a narrative. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I'm very sensitive to that. I mean, in the sense, I'm very Libra, if you will, about many things. I can always see both sides of everything. And, you know, the lineage that I come from has an incredibly painful past, right? Never been able to relax anywhere. Always been war, always been kicked out, always had to run with the little on their back, persecuted. We're not the only ones. I know there's many different nationalities and ethnicities of people who have been through this. It's horrible what humans do to humans. Absolutely. But yes, right now, you know, and I don't get politically at all involved. I purposely remain Switzerland. But, you know, to know some of what's out there is, it is disturbing at best. I mean, and I can even, I'll just say this. I was invited to speak somewhere, and they said, by virtue of doing this, we're raising money to help the children of Palestine, which is absolutely gorgeous to have a whole event and give money. And I support that. And so, you know, you just hope that people will be open enough to understand. Also, there's stories like any disagreement between
People.
anybody, everyone's got a story that needs to be honored. So, you know, plus my father, a Holocaust survivor. So there's, you know, unbelievableness, what he lived through to get to the other side. So, you know, I am sensitive. I do not identify deeply with this. I do identify deeply as a spiritual galactic person, and I always have. However, as a 3D person, there is no way to deny what runs through my veins and where
that's what she's saying. And I think that's why, because sometimes people say, are you Christian? I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not dogmatically, no, but I love, you know, Christ. I mean, he's got a message of love, but I feel like I'm almost afraid to talk about, not afraid to talk, but just any religion, because I'm trying to be, like Lisa, Switzerland, neutral, loving, because people come from everywhere and I don't want duality. I'm trying to spread love. I get it. But she's saying there's a part of you, you don't even need to tell people, you just need to honor, because that love you have for Jewish people is that, and what the hell they've been through, and it did happen, by the way, it did happen, the Holocaust, that you need to, that same love will penetrate through other people, because other places have been victims just like that. But she wants you to just honor that tiny bit of you. She's saying that because you are like Switzerland. So that's important. You know, I had a past life. My past, my, it wasn't the life before. I was murdered the life before. It was an accident. Not mur- well, I was, but it was an accident. I was trying to leave Michigan to go to Vegas to be a showgirl.
Didn't
and
work
I got,
out.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I was in a car and was still in my husband's car because he was abusive. It was just awful. And my kids were awful. I just want to leave all of them. And I was taking the money. I'd been saving up 10 grand, which is a lot back then. And in a suitcase and taking his really nice convertible. Yeah. I wanted to leave because I was so miserable. And so, but before that, I was in the Holocaust and I ran it multiple times and it was really charged. And I was not Jewish, but my husband I'm with now was Jewish, which is so funny because he's not Jewish. This is hysterical. You ready? He grew up Methodist, the South, right? You Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian primarily. Okay. So he plays in Jewish bands.
Huh.
He knows like the Kabbalah. He studied Hebrew. I mean, hello.
I love
and
him.
There's certain things he does that people go, would always go to him. So you're Jewish, right? And he goes, he would always pause and he would go, no. And so I would just think it's the most hysterical thing. But he was Jewish. The last life we were together, and I was Italian, and we had a bagel shop, and we actually had to hide our children in the baseboard in our home. It was like a shotgun. We had a backyard. It was small. The front part was the bakery, and I didn't even realize this was a thing. I had to look it up, but we felt this was going to get bad. It was like really hard to talk about still. But we're not our bodies. Okay. We're eternal spiritual beings, and we could have been Jewish. We could have been a priest. We could have been whatever that thing you hate. You were that last time. Anyway. We had money that it was like a doctor's bag. We're going to leave with cash, but we didn't leave in time. He said, oh, there's blowhards. They were marching up and down the street, the Germans. And they came in and they hauled us in and they put these yellow stars on us. And they put us in a train and they closed the doors. And when we got off the train, a lot of confusion. You could see a lot of gates. They separated us out from the children. They took me into a place where the women were, shaved my head, which, you know, women with long hair, that is like the worst thing you can do. Less like castrating a man. Cutting off a woman's hair, and they threw all the clothes in the middle, and they put me into a room and said, you're going to get a shower. But it with all these red lights turned on, and they gassed us, and our skins melted on one another. But this is what's interesting. When we were above on spirit, we could look down and we saw all the graves and everybody they were mass killing at once time, which is demonic. I don't care what you say. Anytime you mass kill people intentionally is demonic. It is true evil. I don't care if people have this relativism thinking, oh, well, Hitler wasn't really evil because at the time, no, because that is actually Anton LaVey and Aleister Crowley. That relativism, I'm doing a thing on that next week, is actually evil. Wrong. That's wrong. Otherwise, we can't tell differences. But we decided together, this is the beautiful part, We would never let this happen to humanity again, ever. Because as my husband said, there are certain things that are worse than death, and that is not being true to humanity, to others, and to your own soul. Could we have stopped that then? No, but that's why I think it's important to keep our eyes open. Yes, we're creating a better world, but it's not been easy, right?
Yeah.
We're in
my
the
grandfather
thick of
on
it.
my father's side died in a gas chamber in a concentration camp. Yeah, pretty
I'm
unbelievable.
Sorry.
Well, thank you for sharing that, and that feels peaceful actually to me.
Well, the thing is, I'm just telling you, you wouldn't have thought here I am, and here I am talking about, you know, aliens or being other places, but that was a really rough one. I actually, that came up, and I would pick up right where I left off, and that was so awful. That's why one of the reasons I didn't have kids this life, because of the children, taking the children. And can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine? It was so what did it do? Gives you a lover. It makes you realize that freedom isn't free. And that it's important that, as my grandmother would say, life is in you now. You need to speak your truth. And wrapping it up with your grandmother, I think that's why she loves what you're doing. You're speaking truth, but you're doing it in a way of love. You're doing it with your cute personality. You're vivacious. And by doing that, you're giving the courage for someone else that's on the fence that's going to come out. Maybe it's not a podcast. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's write that book. You know, you can help them with that. You know, whatever it is, whatever their next step, maybe it's getting a regression. I don't know. Whatever their next step is, maybe it's just looking at things going, you know, I'm going to put this on ice, everything I learn, and I'm going to look at some other things that I'm going to be at peace doing it and know I'm loved and protected and I'm a sovereign being.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you, my love. That's really lovely. Yeah. And thank you, Grandma. I was really, really, really close to my grandparents, much like you. So, yeah, it's sweet, so sweet to connect with her.
And your granddaddy's here too. I must say this: he is humming. He's humming and whistling. So I don't know if he did this when he was happy, but he was. He's like a hummer and a whistler, and feeling his presence. He's very, he's also very family oriented because he works so hard for family. He knows what that means. Of course, family can be more than the family we came from. Family could also mean, what is our family? Who do we want to be our family? Who is positive that's going to support us? But he is, he's whistling a lot. And I want to say he's whistling a song that and gives you encouragement, almost like, this is the feeling I get, Debbie, like F you, but it felt like a song that you would sing that's from a heritage that they might have sung, or his dad's song that taught him, like with around soldiers, but it's like a positive song, but it's a whistle, and he's whistling this. And his message is always stay true to yourself. And he said, the truth indeed will set you free, always. Never protect a lie. Know that I'm always with you. I love you. He said, you're beautiful. What is he saying? You're more beautiful than a pearl. Is that somebody's name? A pearl? You're more beautiful than a pearl. One says it could be an old timey reference, but he said pearl. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if you have the pearls in your family, like you got the pearls, you're more beautiful than a pearl. So I don't know if you got pearls in the family, but you don't wear them, because he's referring pearl. Okay. Does that make sense?
I have my grandmother's pearls.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Thank you. So he's saying you're more beautiful than that, but that's his also way of acknowledging and pulling that in. They're with you a lot, and you kind of know that, and they help you with your shamanic work.
They helped me. I know when my mother was passing last year, I showed up a lot in her last weeks. And
who's the J name? Who's like Judith or Jay?
That was my grandfather's middle initial.
Was it? Okay.
And he always went by Sidney J. Lawrence.
Oh, okay.
Always.
He's still here.
By the way, the whistling, he was a really well-known music teacher, music inventor. Yeah. Like on my mother's side, we are all into music. I sing. So him humming, whistling
That's
makes total
funny. You do
sense.
sing. Okay. Oh, that's interesting because, okay. Oh my gosh. The picture is getting bigger here. It's like here, now here. My grandparents used to tour in a big band, and when during the Depression, that's how they made money, and they're around me all the time. Well, I married a musician who was on Capitol Records, and so I've always been music is very important to me and uplifting. Music is just so important to me. It still is. Like
Yeah.
even like new music, I should have been like, I know they don't probably have them anymore, but an AR person, I can listen 30 seconds to a song, maybe 60. I'm like, no, yes,
Ah, really?
no. Yeah. And I've actually done, I said, you're good. I'm like, I just,
You
cause
have
I
a
used to
good
read
ear.
slogans and stuff. I just know. I can tell, or I can go, or it's like when you see good advertising, oh, that's good. Or you look at it and you go, it looks sophomoric. I can tell that with the music. I can do that. But music's important. It's been important in my family too. But I feel like that this, maybe that's also the message because he's talking about whistling for inspiration, whistling. If you're going into the camps, these men is the image that I was shown would whistle their some kind of heritage song, but something positive. And so the music, let the music carry you. This feels as the message, let the music carry you. So times you feel sad, you know what I do? I mean, I love dancing, but putting on some music that soothes my soul and that changes and getting lost in it. And to me, anytime you're close to creativity, where it's art or music, which I support heavily, that and I am an artist, that is the closest that we get on this earth plane to the divine. So we need to hold that in. We need to bring that close. And I don't mean, I mean, it's okay, I guess, regular music you hear out there on the radio, but I'm talking about once it lifts you up to a new, to a higher level.
Yeah.
And it's different for different people, but takes you to that next level. Piano's okay, but I found a band that I have to share with you later that is just like amazing with piano. Like it does something. It actually pierces into my heart area and opens up that heart chakra. And it's just, I think it's called SYML. SYML is the name of the person who does this. And it's like meditation, but it's piano. It's very good.
That's lovely. Yeah. And I just to complete that, my grandfather, I know when my mother was passing, I was there with her several times when she was completely incoherent. And I was doing shamanic last rites over her. I did many things. I did Hebrew prayers, songs. I read things. I had people send me things that I read over her, all her beloveds that. She would hear their last words. So many sessions because she kept holding on. It was unbelievable. But I remember very distinctly in the hospital, while I was doing the shamanic last rites, I literally felt my grandfather on my left shoulder. I felt him put his hand, and I knew I was not alone. I knew they were helping me to help her to cross over into the light. And I was so grateful. It was so beautiful to know that they knew. They'd known for so long, so much of what was going on. And so I just love them. I love them so much.
Well, there is no time. And so they've always, when you were born into this world, they knew you were different and exceptional. You also asked a lot of questions. That's what they're both standing side by side. You would ask a lot of questions about why, like why this, why that, why that. They knew that you were exceptional and different than other kids. They're still with you. They're going to be with you till it's your time to cross over. Your mother had some dementia before she crossed over. Obviously, she
Big
was going
time.
through, but
Alzheimer's.
it was okay. It was even before that,
Yeah.
and she had confusion, and she wants you to know that she's. I mean, obviously, you get in the hospital, they put you on drugs that confuse you because it's drugs. Not saying you shouldn't take them. I'm just saying, but this is before that. She was embarrassed because she tried to search for words and things and whatever. And she feels like she let you down. and she didn't want you to see her in that way, which God bless her. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine being a vibrant, very busy person and then you can't even search for the word dog? I mean, dear God, that's, you know, who would wish that on anyone? And so she comes as an apology, and she does have some residual shame on that. Of course, you know, you send love and you, but she just wants to share how she felt, that she didn't like this sliding downward of no control of that. And she did not know it would go here, but she's so sorry that she, that you could not have meaningful conversations for some time, that it was, that it must have been frustrating for you. And she, I guess in her own way, is trying to explain it, but also kind of an apology, not that she needs one, but this is what she brings forth. So there is a pet that's with her that has crossed over, because she's saying Rainbow Bridge. So I think that means pet. So there's a pet that's with her and she's giggling. Your mom is showing herself as lean. It looks like she's got dark hair. She's lean, and she's with a it looks like a dog. Let me see if I can see the dog. I don't know if it's like a blonde, if you call it that, blonde brown terrier. But this what I'm not sure. So I don't know which dog. She could be with a lot of dogs, but there's one that's just crossed. She's acknowledging that. Now she's also talking about this blondish brown terrier. It could be like a mutt even. Do you?
Oh, I wonder if it's our dog Ziggy.
Oh, I was getting sassy. Okay. So, okay. Ziggy. So I get it by like, phonetically how it sounds. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it. Because there was one that's just crossed, but then she's mentioned another one.
Yes.
Okay. And so she's laughing, going, I have the dogs.
Oh.
She says, and she goes, the dogs, I don't watch them. They keep me company. And so it's very busy. Would you like me to ask her what she's doing?
Sure, I would love that.
I never knew that. And she said, I never, and she said, okay, this is what she's saying. She goes, I never knew. She said that she was, okay, so this is her whole life. She got into a way where she was taking care of family, and she was doing that aspects of thing, but she would felt as though she had obligations this life. So she never really kind of, not talking about the end part where she had dementia, but she's showing me that she never just was kind to herself and just took off. She always did stuff until she couldn't do stuff. Does that make sense? First of all. Okay, good.
100%.
Okay. So that's why I kind of blurred it. She goes, I don't know. I could do this. She's painting. She said, I would have never done that. Like she would never taken the time to do that. And the kind of painting, what it looks like, it's like, it's an actual easel, like the wood easel, and it's, it looks like a canvas, and where you take and you mix it with gesso and you take it and you get the real actual, you know, where you're in there, you know what I mean? Nowadays we see all this digital stuff, but you're in there, like, you know what I mean? Like with the palette, you're putting it on. It's almost like Matisse kind of look, like a, or a Monet, like a, it seems kind of, it seems very traditional, but like she's painting. I said, what are you painting? What are you painting? She loves flowers, just loves flowers. And so she's painting a field of different colored flowers, but she's saying, I've got to get the lighting right. She didn't know she could do anything like this. It's really helping her because, and what I find in readings will continue, but what I find in readings, if they kind of didn't do much in this life, then they get put to work out there. If they kind of work, they're busy with family, they really didn't know how to relax, then they're supposed to learn how to like go to classes, relax, do things they never got to do over there, go on adventures. But she's learning to paint. She's also talking about violin. Did you grow up learning the violin? Okay. She wants to say you're good. She said you stopped. And so that's a yes. Okay. And she said, why did you stop?
Oh, it was such a mess. It's a regret, but I was 16. I cared more about socializing. And I was a very good violinist. I really was very, very good. I made all county violin, et cetera. But I also took private lessons and lessons at school. And just one day I freaked out. I can't explain what was going through a 16-year-old head, but I didn't want to do it anymore. And it was a large enough level of study and practice. I was way more committed to being a singer, which I did use and still do today. And so, yeah, but it is a crime. And I'll tell you that my partner bought a violin 4 or 5 years ago for me. And
No.
I tried picking it up a few times, but I can't. I've lost everything.
Okay,
And
so she wants to tell you something on this. This
yeah.
is all good news. This is all very, very positive. She's not like, hammering you on anything. It's more of like a little slight push, she's talking about the violin and about how good you were and your connection to music and feeling. When I said the piano, like some of it sounds like funeral music to me, but some of it, if you get some really, you can get meditative type that's really gorgeous, right? And nowadays there's things they can do with the violin. I mean, I've heard it in rock bands and I've heard it in every and really cool stuff. So what she wants you is to rethink the violin. It's like me in school. If I didn't like a subject, it was hard for me to pass it because I'm like, screw it, because I was really bored in school, right? So if you really take an interest like that piano, normally I don't like it, but I was like, I like that. You have to look up SYML. Very beautiful. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. If you relook at the violin, she said at the time, she wants to give you a response to that. At the time that you said no, it's because you were trying to work on your identity, boys, all of that. You were to, do you want to, all that stuff, the peers, who's that's going to be. And that you felt like you were being a little too nerdy when you wanted to be extroverted instead of introverted, staying home practicing. And that was just say, it's just a time that happened. Nothing's wrong with that. Just let that go. It was, I mean, think about it now. If you just kept playing violin and you didn't learn these social skills, you might not be doing this. So,
That's true.
right? So it's not a
Yeah.
bad thing. But what she's wanting you to revisit, she, and I don't, this is an example she's given me. So maybe it'll mean something for you. But you know how our friend Neil Gorham, Portal to Ascension, how he does the poetry?
Yeah.
And then how you're singing, but where you can mix the violin, you can make that violin kind of cool. You can pluck it, you can do different things. She wants you to rethink of doing it modernized.
God, okay.
Does this make sense?
I'll
You can pluck
consider
that
it.
thing.
I mean, I feel
Yeah.
like you're channeling my boyfriend right now and her all at
Oh
once
my gosh. Oh my gosh.
because
Okay, so it could be. All right. So who is Dan or Daniel? Do you have someone crossed over, or is that who, or do you know someone there now? Sometimes they shout out. It's like spirit Tourette's.
No.
Daniel, Dan, Dan, Daniel, David, D, 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 A.
My brother's name is David, but he's with us. He's
Yeah, I know
on.
that. They'll do that sometimes. So let me see if this, she wants to, if she wants to say something to him. Oh, she said he took it really, really, really hard, and he's kind of gone introverted a little bit. But he doesn't really talk about her passing. Would you understand that? He's kind of just kind of, quiet. She just wants you to know that she sees that. She loves him. He's going through some questions or changes. He's not like you. You're pretty open book. He's not like you at all. He's a real quiet guy, she said not always the healthiest to be that quiet. I mean, men are basically a lot more quiet than women, which is fine. That's how they're made. But he's really shut down. He's going through some changes and questioning himself. He needs to know, first of all, is he open to getting a message, do you think? Okay.
Definitely.
He needs to know, and you don't, because he's embarrassed easily, or I don't know why, but you don't need to know everything. He's going through some changes, and I feel like it's career, I think it's personal. And he's asking questions, kind of stuff we've already been through, dark night of the soul, not saying it's not going to happen again, but he's going through that. She wants you to know it's positive. It may not look like it. She wants him to know, I love you. I'm with you. You are not alone. I am fine. And she's going to give him some evidence for that. But what you're going through is necessary so you can purge the things that don't serve you so you can be happy.
Yeah.
He hasn't told anyone that. This is one of his private things. This is needed. This is good. Okay. It's really good. Evidence. Why is she telling me him filling his father's shoes? Do you understand that statement? Filling
Did
his
you say father's shoes?
Father's shoes. Yes.
Say Does the word, mean, say the say the sentence again.
Okay. She's talking about, for as your brother, about filling your father's shoes. So I don't know if it's literal or both. Remember, they can say more than one thing and it mean multiple things. So it could be that maybe he has your father's shoes and literally fitting it, or it could be that he wanted to kind of live up to what he felt his dad wanted of him.
I get it. I mean, I get it on an emotional, it's an emotional
it's
thing.
It's an emotional thing.
It
okay.
is. Very, she said very, 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 for both of us, difficult relationship with my father, who was quite absent, and he also chooses not to be periodically in our lives, for me, way more. However, he recently, 2 years ago, suddenly came back in my brother's life after his wife passed, not my mother.
Got it.
Yeah, and so suddenly involved.
We have a lot in common.
Here's the
Debbie.
Will. Here's the this. Here's, you know, where you take care of stuff. But I get it. Like, I've had a lot to work through over my father and my brother in his own way, certainly. But he, my brother would kill me for even talking
no,
at
no,
this
no,
level.
No, no, no.
Because he's so not that guy. But I'm just going to wrap it up by saying, I know still a lot of his journey is coming to peace with that. You know,
he's going through a lot right now.
Yeah.
And your mom sees it and she wants him to know it's time to let that portion or that part of the father, you know, this is how I'm getting it. This is how I feel it to be, which I feel it in my heart center. It feels like the information she's telling me that, and what I'm seeing, it feels like she's showing me like a little boy. So, you know, when we're children, even if our parents could be alcoholics or whatever they are, they're still our parents. So he's trying to like, okay, this is the person that I thought it was a little kid. And now as a grown man, wow, big disappointment. Your mom wants your brother to know he's his own man. He has to make his own way. Mm-hmm. Ethics mean a lot. Stand on his word, because you see when you don't, and that he's already made his decisions. And it's okay. And he doesn't have to see him if he doesn't want to. If he does, he does. If it's too upsetting, he doesn't need to be around him.
Right.
Your mom's seeing this whole thing.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you're, she, you know how this works. And she's seeing your brother in particular. You're a little bit more like, you know, F it, you know, like, hey, it is what it is. You can handle it better, right? And you have more skills to handle
now
it.
Now I can. Not always, but now I can. Yeah. I mean, I've
Better.
Been through enough and healed enough that it's like, it's very obvious. You know, none of this has any, God bless. He gave me great genes. You know, there's many things, proclivities he had that
he
I
was good
see,
in business.
Even though he wasn't in my life, they exist in me and I'm deeply grateful.
Right.
But the rest of it, you know.
There you go.
Thank
So,
you.
But see how that's how I kind of view things, like, you know, this and that, take the good. Because if you can show it's gratitude, and I hear he was good looking, he was good at business. And so there you go. Okay. So it's not all bad. But with him, because he's a male and the male and all that, that he's trying to overshadow he just needs to go, look, it's okay to say, I love you, but you are not, maybe to his face, maybe it's not safe, but in his own mind, I love you because you're my dad, but I don't really like you. This is, I have to make choices that are good for me and positive. And then you need to tell him that you will support him in that. Your mom is saying that he's going way through too much of this than he needs to. And she wants him to know, I love you, honey. He's not worth it. Just, you know, he's made his bed. Do what you feel is best for you. You under no pressure to have to see him or not see him, whatever you feel is best. That may even change later, but for right now, you need to do whatever it takes for you not to feel so upset. And that's her message. And she says, I love you. She's with him. Actually, at night, I'll tell you when she's with you the most. She's with you through this new dog. I can tell you that. She's with you through this new dog. This new dog, you've got this dog. And when the dog kind of like cocks his head and looks up, that's her. So every time that happens, and it's usually in a group. So it's, you've got more than one, but you got your, she's with your grandparents. And so they'll come in. You also have the other side. It's got, you've got a lot more people, but when he cocks the head, she's with your grandparents. There's more of them there too, but that your dog sees that. Your brother gets it through his dreams, and he gets it when he goes to bed at night. Like he feels like someone's touching his hair, like, good night, honey, you know, touching the hair. But he thinks he's going crazy, but she's actually doing that. She's actually touching his hair, like, you know, stroking his hair.
That's interesting. That's really interesting. I thank you for that. My brother is an amazing individual. He's very generous. He's very talented. He's a genius, without a doubt, and very successful. And, you know, wounds, right? Childhood wounds, but they manifest exactly as you describe in this very withdrawn, sometimes uncommunicative and so forth. But I love him, and I know he'll find his way. And I just want to say, you know, regarding my mom, I mean, first of all, the painting thing is so cool because at one point, my mother did several things career-wise in her life. At one point, she did music with imagery. So she took this way to take people on a guided tour using music so that you could get your talents. And I remember she invited me and I didn't want to go because I was afraid I'd have to do art. And I'm like, I have no talents with art. I don't want to do art. And my mother, look, she wasn't great at this stuff, but this is the times she came through were very poignant for me. And this is one of those times when she just knew what to say to invite me, to bring me in. And when I went to that experience that she led with many other people, I did come out and I drew some kind of, I don't know if it was sacred geometry. I wasn't even into that stuff at the time, but I did it. And I remember thinking she was right. You know, I'm not some great artist, but I was able to tap into something and create something I felt really good about. So it's so cool that she's doing art, and you're absolutely right. Never gave herself time during her life. And as far as her, I have a lot of compassion for the not being able to express herself. But you know, I just want her to know in this moment that was never, never a thing for me because I found a way, and I would go visit her and Rob would bring his guitar and I would sing to her. And because music was so huge in our family, we would cry. I would sing and tears would run down my mother's face and mine. And we would say, I love you. I love you. And I felt more connected with her in those moments, more in love, more synced up, all of it. It was the most beautiful experience. And it meant everything to me, how healing that was. So I never had any frustration that she couldn't find words. I understood, but those were beyond word moments.
Yes, it's communication.
Yeah.
Well, when she showed me the art, it's like she hadn't done that, but it was time to embrace that part. For example, this life I went to art school and did a lot of art. I did even do art. I do custom graphics on my, you know, channel. I'll do it for yours. That's what I do. I love dressing up like art. I just, you know, art, and I painted, and I have done French designer furniture, and but I married a musician who knows all about timing and this and that. I have a guitar sitting there, bass guitar, that I want to learn funk guitar. It's just been sitting there. It's beautiful turquoise. And I bought a freaking harp. Yeah.
What?
Like a big ass harp, but a harp. And I'm going, okay. And I'm so intimidated to do it because this life, it was more art and not the music. But then my husband's like, oh, I could tune that. I could do that for you. No big deal. I could so-and-so. He knows, he can hear things. And he listens also. One of the things that's interesting, and I think what you're talking about with your mom and communicate, it's like that freaking connects to me on such a deep level. My mom's okay right now, but when the time comes, I love that way of that you communicated, because music is so important to me. But like my husband, if we're out, he said, I always knew when he would play bars, and he was on Capitol Records for years with a band called Fetch and Bones. Everybody's gonna look up Fetch and Bones. He long curly hair. And he would be at a place, and he said, I could always know if there was gonna be, not saying he played rough places, but you're in a public place. If there was gonna be a dispute or a fight breakout, he said, because the cadence of the noise would change. And sometimes he said, like in
Oh.
nature, if it gets really quiet, you know there's a predator. So he looks at the world in terms of sound and communicating
Wow.
with like it's
Yes.
too it's the energy's weird here. The sound feels weird. See, where I would look at it more like energy. Like,
Yeah.
I don't like the vibe of all this. I need to step back from this. That's why I like being around the Starseed groups and us being like on the Galactic Origins cruise, which everybody join us. It's because it's a different kind of, you're with people, but they're just a good vibe and no one's sucking the life force out of you or expecting anything from you. And that's okay. But going to like a concert, like I used to go to concerts all the time, or, and I'd occasionally still go, but I have to put on, you know, my God bubble and just kind of muffle out things. Is our relationship with sound and with music and with art, and sometimes the best way we can express things is through the music and art. But getting back to the violin, she wants you to reconsider, not only because you were good at it, she wants you to take it a step deeper. You were naturally good at it. You ever tried to put something in front of someone? I know people that went to art school. I went to East Carolina University. They really weren't that good, but I never told them. It's not my place. But I was like, well, they try hard enough, maybe they'll be okay. And they tried. They were still never as good as some people that came in really talented. You've already got the basic talent, but she wants you to revisit that and to look at that and incorporate. I just feel like not only violins, but even strings in general.
I used to play guitar too. Yeah.
Are you serious?
I am.
What about, is it acoustic guitar?
Yeah, I have it here actually in the room too. She bought it for me. Is you know, and it's interesting, the name of the guitar, I picked it out when I was young, and I picked it out and I never thought about this, but it's called Angelica. So like, it has angel in the name of the
Well,
guitar.
this is 100% from your mom. This is no coincidence at all. And she said harmony, she goes, harmony is love, love is harmony. And she said, you communicate through harmonic vibes. Now, we know being a starseed and being activating other people just by the presence, you activate people in multiple ways because you're so used to being an oracle, being in front of people. And yes, I don't see a problem with you channeling. I could totally see that, but it's going to come through in the way you want to. It could come through in lyrics and you just make some stuff as you. I don't know what way it's going to come out, but it'll be beautiful and it'll be uniquely you and it won't be anyone else's but you. But not everybody's gifted in this area, right? It's a true divine gift. And she's saying that was then, but now if you picked it up and you looked at it like it's your friend, it's a way to communicate the divine and to not just words, but harmonic points. And you can also, with your intention and using your shamanic abilities and your starseed abilities, you could activate the heck out of people instead of just getting one-on-one to go ahead and do crowds. That,
wow.
You know, we got to do a lot. Might as well get them all in the room.
Yes,
But see, look at it as what you're merging, your higher self, things you're doing now, right? Taking the past, Debbie, right? Bringing them all together because there's no timelines, right? They were collapsing it. And going, I'm serving this for the higher good. I'm actually getting really high. My crown chakra is vibrating, which is telling me this is a yes for you. And so you want to use this as an instrument of loving activation.
Totally. 100%. That's how my singing is. That's how the music is. We're going to actually do a concert. Besides my presentation, we're doing a concert on the cruise, Rob and I. So we're going to do a galactic sound bath. It's not like how other people do sound baths. And then we're going to do a concert. But that's exactly what it's about. It is using the channeling in that case and the vibration of love, not consciously, but it's what happens. And it's beautiful experience all the way around. I hope you'll be
You,
there.
I will be there. Do you free flow it? And I hope everybody else watching will be there or listen.
I'm going to be really honest. That's why I was laughing earlier when you were saying some of the stuff you did. I do it at home. So that's something.
Okay, chicken.
Totally. That I do it all the time with the dogs. I'll make up songs and lyrics, and Rob hears it all the time.
Time to take the show on the road. Yeah, they're saying you. How do you think I felt with channeling? I thought, okay, mediumship, whatever. And then I would go into channeling, and I have notebooks of journaling, 40 years of channeling. Christ, I didn't know who. And then he's sort of bringing me these random spiritual people, and then different Elohim, and then Aster sort of showing up to me in my dreams and waking state. And then so I felt very like, oh, this is crazy. How can I come out and say this? But you're around the right crowd that will love and support you.
Totally. But you'll see what I create and you'll know. And I do write poetry. I mean, that's something I used to do when I was younger. And like, so we do a song with some of my poetry. And anyway, it manifests in these very unique ways. And where I do free flow is without words, where I just let the music come through me. And so.
You know, another thing I see you doing, you're going to do it. It'll be, okay, so your mother's now saying something. Here's a safe way of looking at this, what she's saying, is to pretend they're lyrics and just start writing their lyrics, but they're channeled information. See, I started with automatic writing for years, right? Because I was too chicken to just go, and it just start coming out. And it sounded like, and then after a couple of minutes, I'm like, I don't even know what I said, but start with like lyrics, automatic writing. Also, she said another way to safe way to do it. As you could do this amazing instrumental piece and have someone else channel, that's cool because mediums can do it. I've done it where I used to do this medium thing on stage where I would do, I've done it several times, but where I would either bring through a person, then she'd bring through a person, or what we can do as mediums, a higher level ones, we can all do this. The ones that do evidential is that I'm doing a message, da, 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 and they pick up where I left off and they start to keep going. And they ride that stream. It's stream of consciousness, right? So they'll pick up, oh, but your grandfather said this and da-da-da-da-da, and they'll pick it up, and we can do that. So if that's possible, then you could ride that stream together and more than one person.
Absolutely.
Have them channel while you're doing it.
We have done, thank you so much. And we have also invited people. Sometimes there are transformational leaders who invite us to play before they speak for the audience. And so at one event, we invited a couple who do light language. And I just had a download and I was like, I'm going to free flow song. Rob's going to free flow play guitar. Will you do light language? And it was so magical. I had an experience of combining with the energy of the husband of this couple. They both did a beautiful job and something happened to both of us. It was unpredictable where we went, and we knew
whether
it was going to go vocally while he spoke and while I sang. And so I love that idea. I love that idea.
Yeah, because that way it's not all on you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you have a you know, this YouTube channel and a podcast, but you could just be you. But I think like me, I'd be bored with myself all the time. But sometimes I'm like, get out of your shell, make a comment on something. I'm like, okay. And then I get to dinner. Oh, they're telling me stuff. Okay. I guess I'll talk about this, but it's more fun, right? When you have other people to engage with.
Yeah.
So it's not all on you and you're not alone. And at some point then you take off your training wheels and you may not want to do it all the time alone. You may want to engage with other people because you're a musician by nature. You like that energy flow, especially when it takes you to a higher level. And it's just like, I mean, you know, I gotta be honest, if you have higher level, what does that mean? Frequency, vibration, you know, vibrational love and other mediums that come together. It's actually it's stronger. What was it? John of God would walk around with a bunch of mediums. Not that his past and stuff really upset me, whatever he got. But the point is, he had other mediums as batteries. The same thing is true when you're in working in the music, when you have other people that are ascended like you, then you can reach these higher levels. But this is what she's saying to you. She loves you. She's taking care of the animals. She's painting. She's also, she wants you to know that she's going to help you on your channeling when you're doing your singing. I'm not sure how that's going to come out.
That's
And I think
fine.
it's,
She was
was
a
she your
musician.
music, was she your music coach? Did she teach you how to sing?
No, not at all. She was a musician and she was a music teacher and a conductor. But,
Okay.
and she sang, she's perfectly on pitch and so forth. And she was lovely. You know, we used to sometimes sing together for fun, but I would not call her a singer. But she always got me lessons. She got me lessons for
Okay.
everything. So, yeah.
Well, she's going to help with this. She's going to help you. And I feel like with your singing, she may line up someone with that, but singing slash channeling,
Cool.
something's going to happen with that. Yeah. Practice it at home, practice it around small groups, practice it with people you feel you'll be led, but this is how you're not me. You're not, other people you channel. You know what I'm saying? You're going
Yeah.
to do it a very special, unique
I will.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna la. You're gonna really come out. You're gonna do things. It's like, wow, I didn't know you could do that. And so, because it's amazing that divine uses in all these different ways, and we're such a spark of creativity in this world, and that's how we express ourselves, and that what makes us uniquely different. But you have a big team because you got a big job, and we just touched the surface.
Yeah, I can tell. Thank you for all of that. That was really beautiful. Really beautiful. I
You're
just
welcome.
receive it so much, so deeply, and I will re-listen to this, and I appreciate your gift and your time and your generosity so much. Tell us what you are going to be speaking about aboard the Celebrity Galactic Origins Cruise to the Yucatan, December 14th to the 21st, my dear.
Yes. Well, I'm going to be speaking about At Sea with Sirius B. I'll be talking about
It's
how
cool.
people are attracted. I know it's cool. Nobody ever talks about that. I'm like, wow, it's awesome. Good times there. Where I have been on that planet before as a Aquarian. We were not a mermaid. We were not a mer person. We were fishy looking, okay? But we were upright. So we come in different forms. I will be doing custom digital art that I'll be showing that I'm being channeled digital art now. I'm like, how strange is that? See, that's new for me. Like, they want me to create this Oracle deck. So I'm working on that. I don't think it's going to be available for the cruise, though. This it's called At Sea at Sirius B. I'm going to be talking about how the Sirians go the connection from A, B, and C, specifically what Sirius B and how people are attracted to dolphins and why and what is that energy. Then I'm going to channel Sirius B. And then why not? Because we're going to be on the ocean, right? So get them to help with that. Hopefully, we'll get little, ET action, see little UFOs. That'd be great. Then I'm going to be teaching light language. I'm going to be teaching first what to know what planet you came from, the last planet or star group. And then from there, then I'm going to teach you how to speak that language because you know how to speak it because that's the last planet you came from. You know that. But I can speak multiple languages. It's pretty crazy, including the reptilian, which freaks some people out. But they're not all bad. I mean, most of them are, but not all of them. Just like us, we're not all bad as humans. We're not. And so I'll be teaching people how to speak light language because it's in them. They're a star seed, right? And I thought this is a way to interact, have fun, and have little pictures of planets and things to talk about. Okay, now you stand over there in your group. Okay, great. Then I'm going to teach everybody in their little groups how to speak a light language and check on everybody. And this is a way, this is my little version of getting people to connect, have fun, and teaching them something too. And if we have time, maybe I'll do a medium demonstration slash channeling. I could do transconfiguration where I change my face, which is really cool to see. People take pictures, you see it on the film. And then the other would be, speaking different languages. That could happen. I just did a talk for Ions online this weekend
Oh,
in a medium
yes. I'm
demonstration.
aware of that group. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a Korean lady there, and I gave her a message evidential. And then I started speaking Korean. Like, I never know, like, what's going to happen. I always feel odd about it. Just to let you know, I never not feel odd about it. So even with channeling, I always feel kind of slightly embarrassed because it's really exposing yourself, isn't it?
Indeed. But still, you're here with your gifts for great purpose. And so I know I'm grateful. I can't wait to experience you on the ship and all that you're offering. It sounds phenomenal. And Tamara, this is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
Oh,
Ones that you're not embarrassed about.
ones that I'm not embarrassed about. Well, you know, I used to have goals that, you know, because it's important to have goals and dreams. And I appreciate you asking. And I think it's important that I would have my own TV show and channel showing this gifts through love and getting people to open up. And that still may happen. But at the same time, I feel like that I'm being taken to a higher level of awareness, my own self, and also the people that I'm around. And I think it's because I am so loved that I'm able to connect with people like you. So I'm like, okay, I'll be flexible. Okay, that's fine. We're going this route. So it's not the path I planned, but it's the path that helps me engage my higher self and makes me feel truly loved. So my goal would be to continue to speak out at higher levels, help people that are on this path, help other ascension leaders be great too, right? Because it's a win-win thing, right? Because we can only be ourselves. So I don't want to be anyone else. I love being me. So I feel like that it's important to dream, but also continue on with what the universe has for you. With that said, finishing my book, Love from Heaven, and the Oracle deck, Sirius at Sea with Sirius B. And they've also told me that they want me to write my book, channeling to put it in there and do more oracle cards.
Amazing. So, big dreams,
lots
and
going on.
So for folks who are interested, I know academyofdivinewisdom.com is your website, and
so is Southern Bell Medium too. Yeah. Thank you for that. The academyofdivinewisdom.com, I've got free classes, paid for classes. I have a free 30-minute Christ-like meditation, which I put you in that NDE state where you're like in this bliss state. Is really great. And you evoke the presence of Christ consciousness. It really feels peaceful and wonderful. So you can get that if you register on it. I also have Starseed services. You can see that on there. And then also my southernbellmedium.com site. Now that's, I've morphed and I have too. The reason for that is that some people, the Starseed stuff, they're not quite crossed over into that world yet. You know what I'm talking about. So I have the southernbellmedium.com. Yeah, it's still me. It's great. It's wonderful. And they can look and see services there. But the ones that want to go to the higher dimensions, they want activations. They want Akashic life reading stuff. They want, you know, I use the evidential mediumship. I also use, you know, psychic information comes through it, as well as life path. But then I also, depending if the person is open to that, I go to the higher levels on other planets or last purpose from their last planet and what they're doing here. But I only go to where their consciousness is willing to allow me to go, which is a very polite thing to do. So I follow my guides and my angels. And then I help them in this way, but they can go to the academyofdivinewisdom.com/starseed services, whatever you'll see it under there. And they can get 25% off by using the word dream.
Beautiful. So academyofdivinewisdom.com, if you liked the taster that you experienced today and you would like to experience that or one of her other, Tamara's other amazing services, go ahead, place an order for you to receive whatever service you prefer and use dream to get your percentage off, which is a wonderful, very generous thing to offer for the listeners and watchers of the show. And also, you can join Tamara and I on the Galactic Origins Cruise, December 14th through the 21st. We're going to explore the Yucatan. There's other incredible presenters, including Jerry Sargent, Sarah Bressman-Cosmi, Laura Eisenhower, etc., Debbie Solaris, and way more. 7 days at sea, filled with enlightening talks, land excursions to Belize and Honduras, and beautiful days at sea. You want to secure your cabin now? Say yes to an unforgettable adventure. Plus, how often do you get to be in a situation where you're basically in a hotel on the ocean? Like,
awesome.
Right? We're going to totally connect with you, whether it's at dinner or one of our talks or hanging out in the hot tub or whatever. There's
exactly.
Also special discounts if you come with a friend, travel with a friend. I always like that. So don't miss out. Go to galacticoriginscruise.com. And when you sign up under referral, On the registration form, you're going to see Tamara's name. You're going to see my name. If you come with a friend, pick both of us, right? And click on Debbie Dashinger, click on Tamara Richardson, and we'd love to see you there and have you join us. I don't know how many cabins are left because I know they put aside a certain amount. So please
That's
don't
true.
delay. If like you feel that feeling in your belly, I know I do when I get a yes.
Yes, that's true. It's usually a scary, excited yes.
And Tamara, thank you so much for coming on today. And thank you for your enormous generosity of information and gifts and the beautiful reading you gave me.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're a beautiful soul. And, you know, I'm here to support you in any way possible. And we'll be doing your interview on the YouTube Seeking Heaven channel. And so people will have to check that out. We'll let you know more about it. You're a beautiful soul. Continue your work and your discovery. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your information today, because your information is going to help heal a lot of people today.
Ah, that makes me feel good. Thank you for that acknowledgement. Beautiful. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed it today. I'm going to end today's show with this quote from Brandon Lee. We tend to take a great deal for granted because you feel like you're going to live forever. It's only if you lose a friend or maybe have a near-death experience that many events and people in your life suddenly attain real significance. Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, your weekly Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger podcast. Leave a comment, subscribe, share. They're all so important. Next week, I actually have two interviews and bringing back, I don't know if this is the fifth or sixth time, but my dear friend and galactic historian, Debbie Solaris, is coming on. We've decided we are specifically talking about the Lyran constellation and the Lyran beings to whom I'm deeply connected. Are you one of them? You will find out next week. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream. We adore you. Thanks for being on this galactic / spiritual experience and journey with us and coming back to being your light at this very auspicious time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, DebbieDashinger.com. That's DebbieDashinger. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.